The headlines: two Iranian intelligence organizations say undeniable evidence shows the United States masterminded the recent riots in the country. People across Iran take to the streets to condemn Wednesday's terrorist attack on a southern shrine that left 13 people dead. Palestinians mourn the death of two men killed by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank as resistance groups call for revenge. Hello and welcome, everybody. Iran says that it's in possession of, quote, irrefutable documents proving that the U.S. was the chief architect of the recent riots in the country. In a statement, Iran's intelligence ministry and the intelligence organization of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps said the U.K., Israeli, and Saudi spy agencies also colluded in the plot. The statement added that plans were hatched prior to the riots to create a nationwide crisis in Iran. It said the ultimate aim of the plot was to, quote, commit crimes against the Iranian nation, violate Iran's territorial integrity, and pave the ground for further foreign pressure against the country. The two Iranian intelligence organizations also said, despite the claims of the current U.S. administration, it's continuing and even intensifying the so-called maximum pressure campaign against Iran. The statement said the U.S. is also targeting the social fabric in Iran by trying to polarize the nation. Well, for more on that story, we're now joined by journalist and political analyst Mohammed Ali Arouki, who's joining us from the British capital, London. Welcome to the program. I want to get your perspective on this recent statement that has been issued by Iran's intelligence ministry and the intelligence organization of the IRGC.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, and thank you for giving me the opportunity for joining you on this program today. The statement that has been issued by the Islamic Republic of Iran officials is a very precise and clear statement. The United States of America and its allies around the world believe in an idea called organic uprisings. Now, it's not as honest as it looks, organic uprisings. What they want to do is they look to overthrow governments that are not in line with their benefits. And the Islamic Republic of Iran and its allies in the Middle East and around the world are an example of those governments. So therefore, what they do is they try to start protests that, when you look at it from outside, when you zoom back, it looks like, yes, there are people here, they disagree with their government. But in fact, the reality is that the United States of America and all the intelligence services that they are working closely with, they are the ones behind this. And this can clearly be seen in the events that started from Mahsa Amini ongoing to the recent terrorist attacks that occurred in Shiraz. And it is important for me to mention that these will not end here. They will keep on trying, but they will fail in the end, and they will not reach the target that they wish to reach.
Can you explain also a little more for us? As we know, Iran has on numerous occasions been a victim of terrorist attacks. Who benefits from all of this, and who benefits from instability in Iran?
So the people who benefit from instability in Iran are clearly the United States of America and its allies, like the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia, the Zionist illegal, the Israeli government, the terrorist Israeli government, and their friends. They are the ones who clearly benefit from this. They are looking to make the Islamic Republic of Iran another example of Iraq, Yemen, and Syria. And for the people who are closely following the incidents that are occurring in these countries, it is completely clear that what the aim is and where this will lead to at the end.
All right, thanks a lot, Mohammed Ali Arouki, joining us from the British capital, London. Moving on, Iranians have held nationwide rallies to condemn Wednesday's terrorist attack in the southern city of Shiraz. The protesters took to the streets in different cities. Following Friday prayers, they chanted slogans and held banners calling for the perpetrators to be brought to justice. At least 13 people, including two children, were killed after a gunman opened fire at pilgrims at the Shah Charal Holy Shrine in Shiraz. 26 others were wounded. The Daesh terror group claimed responsibility. Iranian authorities have promised a firm response to the terror attack.
Iran has witnessed a deadly terrorist attack. The carnage happened at a holy shrine in the south-central city of Shiraz in Fars province. It left over a dozen people dead, including women and children. Over two dozen people were also injured in the attack. The bloodbath happened at the Shah Charal Shrine, which is one of the popular pilgrimage sites in Iran. The Daesh terrorist group has claimed responsibility. The gunman shot his way into the shrine through one of the entrances. He then headed to the main compound, where he opened fire at pilgrims and staff. Eyewitnesses have told reporters that loud screams were heard in the women's section of the shrine at prayer time, when suddenly an armed man was spotted with a Kalashnikov firing indiscriminately in the compound of the shrine. Officials say the perpetrator is a non-Iranian national who has been arrested. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Khamenei, has issued a statement on the incidents, saying that strong action must be taken to identify and tackle the root causes of such heinous crimes. The leader said that all people and entities in the country are responsible in the face of seditious acts by the enemy and their traitorous or ignorant stooges. He advised everyone to stay united against those undermining the people's security and disrespecting their sanctities. Iran says the attack is part of a larger plot to destabilize the country. Foreign Minister Amir Abdullahian says that Tehran has reliable information that shows that terrorists and foreign meddlers have created a multi-layered scheme to make the country insecure. He says this latest attack has unraveled the sinister intentions of those promoting terror and violence in Iran.
The terrorist attack on the Iranian shrine has drawn widespread international condemnation. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has called for the perpetrators to be brought to justice. Russia expressed regret, while China said it was shocked and it denounced the attack, but Western nations have largely remained silent. Iran says recent riots, which were supported by the West, paved the way for the terrorist attack in Shiraz.
Earlier, President Ebrahim Raisi expressed his condolences to the families of the pilgrims who were killed or injured in the attack.
These riots paved the way for terrorist attacks. They came to Shah Charagh Mausoleum and sprayed with bullets innocent people who were worshipping God. The ground for such terrorist attacks was prepared by riots.
The carnage in Iran has sparked a wave of condemnation. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has strongly censored the attack and called for bringing the perpetrators to justice. Syrian Foreign Ministry has called the mass shooting a cowardly act, while blaming the U.S. for using terror attacks as a tool to coerce nations into submission. Russia and China have also condemned the carnage. And Pakistan's Foreign Office spokesperson and the Speaker of the National Assembly have condemned the attack, saying the people of Pakistan share the grief of the Iranian nation. Sayyid Amar al-Hakim, the head of Iraq's National Wisdom Coalition, also decried the attack. Iranian officials say the terrorist attack has revealed the actual extent of the enemy's cruelty. It comes against the backdrop of the latest foreign-backed riots, which erupted after a young woman, Mahsa Amini, died in the hospital 3 days after she collapsed in police custody. Iran has denounced the silence of human rights organizations on the terrorist crime in Shiraz. It says the terrorists based in the U.S. and Europe enjoy unwavering backing there, and Western countries refuse to publicly condemn terrorist incidents inside of Iran.
Palestinians hold a funeral procession for two men killed in the occupied West Bank by Israeli forces. Israel's military claimed the men had carried out a drive-by shooting near Nablus City. The Palestinian Health Ministry said a third man was injured. The Palestinian Authority's Emergency and Rescue Service said the two men killed were its employees. The Palestinian presidency decried the killings, saying that Israel is fully responsible. The Islamic Jihad Resistance Group also warned that the continuation of Israel's gruesome crimes would increase acts of resistance. Meanwhile, the Hamas Resistance Group urged all security forces to use their weapons against the Israeli enemy and to respond to its crimes. It vowed that the path of resistance will continue until Palestine is fully liberated. The West Bank has recently seen a rise in attacks by Israeli military and settlers. After more than a decade of on-and-off indirect talks, Lebanon and Israel have signed a U.S.-mediated deal to end their maritime dispute. The agreement will allow Lebanon to exploit its own natural resources. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh has more in this report.
Lebanon and Israel have finalized a U.S.-brokered deal aimed at resolving a maritime dispute. President Michel Aoun signed a letter on Thursday endorsing the agreement. The final paperwork was submitted to the United Nations in Naqoura, southern Lebanon, concluding a long path of indirect negotiations with the Israeli regime. Separately, the Israeli cabinet, led by Prime Minister Yair Lapid, also approved the agreement. The regime's representative then delivered the signed copy to the UN at the Naqoura point. Hezbollah Secretary General stressed in a brief statement that the deal is a victory for Lebanon's government, people, and resistance. Nasrallah also declared the end of Hezbollah's exceptional mobilization over the maritime dispute, saying the resistance movement had accomplished its mission regarding the issue. The Hezbollah leader said the agreement is not an international treaty.
What happened in Naqoura is not normalization with Israel. This deal is not an international treaty and is not a recognition of Israel. Israel itself has admitted it received no security guarantees.
U.S. Envoy Amos Hochstein, who was with the Lebanese delegation in the southern Lebanese town of Naqoura, had met the top Lebanese officials.
I truly believe and hope that this can be an economic turning point in Lebanon for a new era of investment and continued support to lift up the economy and make sure that whatever arrangements happen, they're done openly, transparently, and making sure that the benefits are felt directly by all the Lebanese people.
Experts believe this agreement would put Lebanon on the map of natural gas exporters. President Michel Aoun stressed in his statement that demarcating the southern maritime border is a technical matter that has no political implications and won't change his country's policy towards the Israeli regime. U.S. President Joe Biden has hailed the maritime border deal as a historic breakthrough. For Lebanon, it unlocks the possibility to exploit its own natural resources at a time when the West is seeking gas suppliers and looking for alternatives to Russian gas. Mariam Saleh, Naqoura, South Lebanon.
And France is grappling with its highest inflation in nearly four decades, with people feeling the pinch of soaring food and energy prices. Consumer prices index climbed by 6.2% in October in a year-on-year basis. That's according to preliminary data published by France's Statistics Authority. Food prices have seen the highest increase, standing at around 12%. That means that people making ends meet are affected. Mostly energy prices have skyrocketed as well, prompting measures by the government to help low-income households. Meanwhile, the Eurozone economy is reeling from inflation. The European Central Bank has announced another increase in interest rates to curb soaring prices. But there are fears that the tightening monetary policy will lead to a recession. And hard-pressed mortgage holders in the Eurozone receive more bad news as the European Central Bank raises interest rates by 75 basis points. As energy sanctions against Russia continue to backfire, some economists warn the EU could be heading for a deep recession. Jerome Hughes reports from Brussels.
Many millions of people living across the 27-nation EU are struggling to survive. Brussels resident Jefferson Araujo has endured two rent increases since March. His landlord says her mortgage is going up, and so a further rent hike is needed.
You go to the market, you cannot buy anything anymore because the price is too high. And I'm thinking maybe to leave Brussels because I'm working in a hotel 10 hours a day. Like sometimes I have just one day off a week.
In an attempt to bring down soaring inflation, the European Central Bank, which manages the euro, has announced interest rates are going up by a further 75 basis points. That represents a huge increase for people repaying home loans. The economic outlook could get even worse, the ECB warns.
Confidence could deteriorate further, and supply-side constraints could worsen again. Energy and food costs could also remain persistently higher than expected.
Some EU leaders have warned the ECB that increasing interest rates so aggressively could push the eurozone into a deep recession. Higher rates impede business expansion and employment.
Charities fighting social injustice often point out all of those taking the decisions that lead to higher inflation and interest rates are insulated from the impact simply because they are the richest individuals in society.
Critics say the EU's move to cut out Russia's cheap gas over the war in Ukraine is backfiring. Despite this, a ninth round of sanctions against Moscow is being prepared.
The Commission and the EES are obviously constantly working in the context of the sanctions on making sure that we are ready should there be a need for further sanctions.
Peace seems to be a dirty word in Western capitals. This as the US weapons and energy sectors make enormous profits, while ordinary EU citizens pay a very high price. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
As the debate heats up over the so-called dirty bomb allegations, the UN's nuclear watchdog says it will launch an independent investigation into Russia's claims next week. Head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, said the probe will be done at two Ukrainian sites. He said inspectors would work to detect any diversion of nuclear material under safeguards, any undeclared production or processing of nuclear material. Earlier, Moscow accused Kiev of planning to use a radioactive device laced with toxic nuclear material against Russian troops in Ukraine. It also warned that such an act could raise the risk of a conflict in the world and the region. Kiev and its Western backers, however, denied the allegation, saying that Russia is setting up a pretext for using nukes in the war. Moving on, Pakistan's former Prime Minister Imran Khan has launched what he calls a long march on the capital, Islamabad, to call for early elections. Hundreds of supporters have already gathered in the eastern city of Lahore. They join a convoy of cars and trucks heading for Islamabad, expected to reach there in a week. Security has already been tightened in the capital. Khan has earlier urged his supporters to avoid violence. He expects to have hundreds of thousands of people with him when they reach Islamabad. Khan's party, Tehreek-e-Insaf, has asked authorities there to allow a protest sit-in. Khan was ousted in April through parliamentary vote. Since then, he has held protests across Pakistan calling for a snap vote. The government says polls will be held as scheduled in October next year. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa Murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist. I said, children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces. Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Youssef Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's no land at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists, while U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai. The island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on two major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Yusuf Jalali from Kish Island.
A 78-year-old artist is making a comeback with a unique art installation on Governor's Island in the United States of America. One of its biggest features is the sound and creaking of moving chains.
It's a project that I proposed for a commission in St. Louis. The site of the commission was the area near the Mississippi River and the St. Louis courthouse. So I wanted to do a piece that addressed those areas and, you know, the subjects. And and of course we have in those areas the Mississippi River, which is a place that you talk about the history of American commerce, but also we can talk about the history of slavery.
Charles Gaines wanted to highlight the role slavery played in building the economy of the United States. That's why he purposely used chains, and the sculptor pointedly faces the Statue of Liberty in New York City. The installation is roughly 30 meters long and activated by colossal chains that rotate on anchors. The installation is part of a three-chapter series called The American Manifest, Moving Chains. It will be kept for all to see until the summer of next year.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out three patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
If you have a sweet tooth, then this next bit of news is just for you. Visitors are now taking advantage of the expanded version of Cakeland, which is an immersive art gallery in the U.S. city of Los Angeles. The structure is meant to feel like a giant multi-layered cake. It's entirely made of artificial materials, but looks like if it's full of cherries, whipped cream, and layers of cake. Artist Scott Hoff says he used nearly a ton of pipe frosting, 120 mirrors, and thousands of cherries. Plus, he embedded thousands of crystals in the walls as a final touch. The artist says he chose to develop cake land after he noticed how much his artificial cake sculptures were welcomed by viewers.
So I chose cake because, number one, it's really beautiful. Number two, it's really fun to do. And number three, it engages the viewers in such a meaningful way.
Hoff says he never actually made a real cake before and has mainly followed his enthusiasm for fake food as the inspiration for this project. Visitors are able to walk through the cake, a labyrinth, and explore various rooms. While there is a lot of deliciousness and lightness of the cakes, visitors to this cake land can discover some interesting darker elements as they wander around. The art installation has continued to expand since it was founded by Hov in 2020. Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters out there, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the Quran to learn its valuable teachings. And to help us with that, we have our wonderful Sheikh Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Habib. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm in the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walillahi alhamd.
Well, very eager to hear, to learn from you about the verses today. Let's listen to verses 7 onwards from chapter 76 of the Quran, and we'll be right back for the discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Yufuna bin-nadhri wa yakhafuna yawman kana sharruhu mustatira.
They are those who fulfill their vows and fear a day whose evil will be widespread.
Wa yut'imuna طَعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا.
And they give food in spite of love for it to the needy, the orphan, and the captive.
إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا.
Saying, we feed you only for the countenance of Allah. We wish not from you reward or gratitude.
Inna nakhafu min rabbina yawman 'abusan qam. طريرا.
Indeed, we fear from our Lord a day austere and distressful.
فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نضرة وسرورا.
So Allah will protect them from the evil of that day and give them radiance and happiness.
وجزاهم بما صبروا جنة وحريرا.
And will reward them for what they patiently endured with a garden in paradise and silk garments.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. You just listened verses 7 onwards from chapter 76 of the Quran. So God is describing who the pious are. In the previous episode, we said that verse 7, which is about they fulfill their vows and fear a day whose evil is widespread and give food despite loving it to the poor, the orphan, and the captive. And we said that the reason of revelation was Amir al-Mu'mineen and his family who vowed to fast for 3 days, and on each night, just before they wanted to break their fast, someone would come over and they would give away all their food. So they fasted for 3 days. They fulfilled their vow, even though they didn't eat anything for 3 days. The question here is, so this is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Can we generalize this rule for ourselves to make it a pattern for ourselves?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think the question that you're trying to put forward is that the concept of yufuna bin nidr, is this the reward that has been stated in this verse generalized to anyone who keeps their promise?
Mm-hmm. They fulfill their vows.
They fulfill their promises, what they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the answer to that is yes. We have this general law, let's call it, or principle, al-mawrid la yu'ammim wa la yakhassis, or al-mawrid la yakhassis al-warid. The best translation I think that we can give to it is that the reason of revelation does not precise it in this situation.
Limited to the
situation. Or does not limit it to this story.
So we're not stuck with the reason of revelation. It goes generalized.
Same thing with the verse of وَكَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَى or وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَى. You have in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi a role model. This verse was revealed and was revealed during battle, in combat. Therefore, but yet, it has been not limited to following the Prophet and using the Prophet as a role model in combat. But rather, its meaning is, by all interpreters, Sunni and Shias, it's rather stating that it's generalized to every situation in your life. Make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi as your role model. It's generalized. The same thing with khums, innama ghanimtum min shay'in. If you have been wealthed or you gain wealth, so give fifth of it to this and that, right? Where was it revealed? It was revealed with al-ghanaim, ghanaim al-harb, the booties, the spoils of war. And but yet it has been generalized in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. So here al-mawrid la yukhassas al-warid. Of course, this is topic for those who love to go into details. Sheikh al-Akhund al-Khurasani in his book Kifayat al-Usul has this kind of topic which we will leave out. It has to do with principles of fiqh, and so we'll leave it out. So just in general, it has to do with limitation to some extent. But This limitation is not the limitation of, that it's because of reason revelation. Limitation because of qadr al-mutayaqqan. That it's 100% certain in this area. Other than that, we have doubt about it. So we cannot, for example, generalize it.
It's about how much we can generalize. Yes. Akhul Khurasani has a piece on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to cut you there because we're going to have to go for the break. But we can come back immediately for the rest of the show. Don't go away. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, and we're studying verses 7 onwards from chapter 76 of the Quran. So we said that the reason of revelation for these verses were the story about Amir al-Mu'mineen and his family fasting for 3 days. But we don't have to be limited to that story. We can generalize that rule. So the pious are people who keep their vows. That's one of the characteristics of the pious. In verse 9 it says, "We feed you only for the face of God. We do not desire any recompense or thanks from you." This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen's family was saying to the poor when they gave them food. Is that right?
Of course, when we say saying, it's not literally, it doesn't literally have to mean that they were saying it to the poor person. Rather, it was like, you know, like they had this intention. Yeah, it's like this. It's talking about the intention. It's illustrating the intention. It's manifesting the intention of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that the reason of them doing this this act is that we are feeding you. We are self-sacrificing. Leave alone the promise that we put with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are feeding you for His sake, to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is that? To be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we don't need no thanks from you. We don't care about you being grateful or not. That's something to also keep in mind, that when you do good, don't always, you know,
expect them to be grateful.
Yeah, because your intention is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they thanked you, that person that you did good to, or not, your actions were for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't get over it, right? Of course, the person that was done good to, whoever does not thank the creation has not thanked the creator, they also have to thank the people who did good to them. It's a two-way job, and you should not be expecting them to be grateful.
But you should always try to be grateful yourself.
But when someone does good to you, you should be grateful
Have this as a principle in our life, where we always have to try to be the good ones.
There's also this topic. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُ مُكَفَّرُ. There's this chapter available in Bihar al-Anwar, and if I'm not wrong, in Al-Kafi. What is the meaning of mukaffar? People are ungrateful towards them, to believers. Rasulullah kana mukaffaran. Rasulullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, people were ungrateful to the Prophet. He brought them... That's by itself is just one topic. What did the Prophet do, and how much he deserves? Imam Sadiq used to say, "Jazahullah khair al-jaza." May Allah subhanahu wa taala reward him with the best of rewards. The Imam alayhi salam mukaffarun. The believers are also mukaffarun, which meaning people are ungrateful for them or for their good that they do. Why is that? It's because their good raises to the heavens. It's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa taala. So it's not available in this dunya for people to thank. So it's like an expression saying that it's been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, they don't care whether they thanked or not. And it's not their importance that they thanked or not. What is important to them is being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm. And that's, again, following the same principle that you said, that the example does not limit the law. So this is, I guess, the mentality that we should try to also have.
Exactly.
The next verse, verse 10, says, "Truly we fear from our Lord a grim, calamitous day."
Yes, that's also something else, that we are closer to Allah. We want to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His sake, for Him being worthy of worship. At the same time, there's this day that we fear. It's something that we should fear. And that day is the gloomy day due to its servitude and horrors that are available on that day. We talked a lot about this on our shows.
Yeah.
On the day, about the day of judgment. So we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And of course, there's this saying that I want to bring up.
Can we keep that saying for after the break?
Go ahead.
Let's keep that saying for after the break. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest. We are on verse 9 of chapter 76 of the Quran. In this verse, Amir al-Mu'mineen's family had the intention, or actually said to the poor people, "We feed you only for the face of God. We do not desire any recompense or thanks from you. Truly we fear from our Lord a grim calamitous day." So they both have the love for God in their heart, and the fear of the Day of Judgment, these are driving them to be so pious. And you just wanted to say a hadith just before the break.
Yeah, like when you think about this dunya and what its reality is, it's like Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam has this saying, I think it's available in Usul al-Kafi or available in Furu' al-Kafi. And it really just shows that it's like you are traveling and you before when they used to travel, when they used to rest, they used to sit down underneath a tree for shade. Right? And of course, that's by itself is just a topic about how people used to travel. Why did they take this route and not that route? How the Arabs used to think and how the travelers used to think at that time. All of it's context for understanding divine text. The linguistic doctor who is the producer of the show will be happy about this, but it needs a separate show or a separate podcast. Anyway, so what is this dunya? It's like this tree that you use. You sit down underneath it for shade. The shade goes away. You stand up and you go. That's life.
Very nice example.
It is.
And in the next verses it says, so God has shielded them from the evil of that day, bestowed upon them radiance and joy, and rewarded them for having been patient with a garden and with silk. One of the things that God iterates and reiterates throughout the Quran is being rewarded for patience.
Yes, of course. It does need patience. You're hungry and you're fasting.
So we should always have this on our mind, that patience is one of the things that we should always practice throughout life.
Patience is everything. Patience is everything. When you look at the high characteristics available, all of them return to patience. We're talking about iffa, iffatul farji wa iffatul batin, or you know, staying
being
away.
Modest.
Yeah, being modest in your private parts and your stomach. It pretty much goes back to desire or patience from your desires. When you have, for example, anger and calmness, right? Qadm al-ghayd, which is pretty much like forbearance, right? Against your wrath, that's also patience. Mm-hmm. And for example, when you're in a calamity, when you're in a catastrophe, patience. All of these are patient. All of these true characteristics and morals, all of them return to patience. They are patience in some manner, in some aspect.
Let's summarize today's show. What we learned today is that we should be driven by our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should work hard to develop this love. We should be wary of the Day of Judgment, for it is a very, very difficult day. And that patience is one of the tools that we need throughout our life. The more we want to grow, the more patience we need. And that's one of the secrets of success. Am I right with that summary, Brother Habib?
Yes.
And thank you, Brother Habib. It's always nice learning from you. I always enjoy it, and I hope our listeners do too. If you missed this episode, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio, Quran Quest. Remember that the Quran isn't a book to just read through. It's a book to constantly study and think about and ponder and discuss and ask, and then put it into practice as best as we can. So until next week, and a lot of pondering and thinking and discussing and asking and practicing. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.